Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Good morning. It is time to get up with a comeback for the ages. A thriller in Boston goes right to the final second. How do they let that huge lead get away? Plus, what the actual heck happened to Golden State last night? The Warriors didn't come out to play. Was that a sign of trouble ahead? And then, did you hear what the Nets said about Kyrie? Oh, they've dialed it up a notch on their own superstar. We've got all that on the menu, and we've got exactly the right people to serve it up as we get up with you starting right now on this Thursday. And welcome to our studio and a very special morning. I have two very special guests in here. First of all, the great Amari Stoudemire.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Stoudemire.
And maybe even greater, this is the brand new, newly refurbished Larry O'Brien Trophy. This is what all the teams still fighting in the NBA playoffs are fighting for. So it is spectacular. It's got the names of all the different champions down here. And we got a couple of champions of our own along for the ride as well. Vince Carter's with us this morning. My Uncle Seth, no relation, Seth Greenberg, is with us as well. Let's do this thing. And it starts the only place it can. Boston last night and an absolute thriller. Tied at two, heading into game five. We're going to take it right to the fourth quarter because it was spectacular. Celtics up 11. Jason Tatum. So good last night. 34.6 rebounds. Oh, and take a look at the move on Pat Connaughton. That's not a good matchup for Pat. That is Tatum throwing it down. And the Celtics open up a 13-point lead. Now under 9 minutes remaining. Bucks down 11. Giannis off the dish from Grayson Allen. It's good. It's a 9-point game. Under 5 minutes to play. It's a 6-point game. Jrue Holiday. No. Giannis working hard. Yes. He was 16 of 27. Bucks down 4. A little over 2 minutes remaining. Still a 4-point game. Jaylen Brown so good in the third, but he can't get that to go. But look at Al Horford skying on the play, and then keep a close eye. Connaughton just getting Giannis with the elbow right in the eye. So Giannis is bleeding and injured, but he played right through it down the stretch. Now, ensuing Bucks possession, Bobby Portis, no. Wesley Matthews, out to Giannis. Oh, it's always an adventure when he takes the three, but he gets it, and he's bleeding, and he had 40, the drama. Now, the other end, it's Giannis playing defense, stealing it from Marcus Smart, going the other way. Holiday struggled in game four. Knocks down the big shot here. He had 24. We're tied at 105. And Giannis is bleeding. Under 20 seconds to go. It's a 2-point game after Celtic free throws. Giannis again. No good this time. But wait, he's fouled. He's still bleeding. It's like Drago as he heads to the bench. He gets cleaned up before he comes back out there. Cut me, Mick. Giannis now at the line, shooting the second free throw after he made the first. Again, down by one. That one's no good. But Portis gets the rebound and puts it up, and the Bucks have the lead. How did he get it? Take a look. Marcus Smart seems to knock everybody down. And Bobby Portis is there. Right place, right time, right result. Bucks up one. Ensuing Boston possession. 11 seconds to play. Look at the defense from Jrue Holiday. Sneaking up behind Marcus Smart. A spectacular defensive play. Seeing where Smart is going to the hole. Connaughton can't have him. But you know, it's Jrue Holiday who's there. And he throws it out of bounds off of Smart. So it's Milwaukee ball. Spectacular. Now, under 10 seconds remaining. Celtics are down 3 after 2 Milwaukee free throws. Here's your ball game. They run a nice looking play. Look how open Jason Tatum is for what would be a game tying 3 in the closing seconds, but they don't see him. And look at Holiday picking the pocket on Marcus Smart, and that is all she wrote. Bucks win it, 110-107. Take another look. Marcus Smart's head is down. He's not going to get a call, and it wouldn't have mattered. It was a 3-point game, a spectacular win. Jrue Holiday, how did you do it?
I mean, obviously, we're in Boston. We're down 14 in the fourth quarter. Like, you kind of just people would say that everything's against us, but we come together. And I feel like we've done that multiple times, and we'll live and die by that.
We don't have time to worry about how we lost. We ain't got time to worry about, we lost and right now and it hurts. Got time for that. So it hurts. It definitely hurts, but we ain't got time to feel it. We got to go on to the next one. And really, it's simple. If you're not ready to come play next game, then don't step on that court.
I mean, that is a devastating loss for the Boston Celtics, up by as many as 14 in the fourth. The Bucks come back driven by going 6-for-6 on threes in the fourth quarter. They also had a 4-to-1 advantage in steals in the fourth, and of course, none of them bigger than one like Holiday with 1 second remaining. So let's take it out here, and we have plenty of time to talk it through. I mean, Amari, where do we begin on that performance in the fourth quarter from Milwaukee, knocking down clutch shots, making heady defensive plays? That's a championship team making championship plays.
Absolutely. You want your team to be playing at its highest level in the fourth quarter. And I think for Giannis, you want, you know, as a star player, you want your team to keep the game close into the fourth quarter and knowing you got the ability to take over the game down the stretch.
And how about Jrue Holiday with those two defensive plays? Again, the block shot on Smart and then picking his pocket clean at the end.
Yeah, you know, Holiday's always been a two, you know, both end player, mm-hmm. offensively, defensively. And to see him down the stretch here defensively guarding these guys and being able to make the right plays down the stretch and have the ability to know to keep the ball in play in that last possession there was mm-hmm. pretty high level.
Yeah, mm-hmm. again, I mean, they're champions and they're playing like it and they're doing it without their second best player in Chris Middleton. Uncle Seth, take me through some tape here. Show everybody exactly how this happened.
This is like a perfect song. So many things had to happen right for the Bucks to win this game, and they had a 2% chance to win the last 8 minutes. Watch this tape. Watch Marcus Smart. Great effort play, but he takes out. He absolutely takes out Jaylen Brown. Bobby Portis in the right place, yes. keeps it high, and finishes. Bobby Portis continuing to get to the offensive glass, and then really good read right there by Marcus Smart in terms of turning that thing down. Look at the play of Jrue Holiday getting level on the ball. That play was set up for a wide pin down on the weak side for Jason Tatum. Smart made the right play, and then right here, another great extra play by the Celtics. But right now, Smart's got eyes up, because Bobby Portis took out Wes Matthews. Advanced pass, and Tatum would have had a shot to win that game. But it was a perfect storm. You know what? I'm going to run a kind of an analogy. That play by Jrue Holiday, maybe the play very similar to Kawhi Leonard's three in the corner against Philadelphia on the defensive end. That defensive play could have saved the Bucks season and maybe set them up. Chris Middleton comes back and they finish this series off to win another championship.
We will have game 6 tomorrow night here on ESPN. All right, Vince, take it for anywhere you want to go. Such an incredible finish there. The Celtics letting it get away. The Bucks making championship plays. To you, what was the number one thing coming out of last night?
Well, first and foremost, what's up, Stat? My guy, Florida boy in the house. But I want to say, it was Jrue Holiday, and it wasn't just his last two plays defensively, but it was the big shot, the big three he hit. It was just clutch shots by the others. And for me, it was Giannis attacking the rim instead of settling for jump shots. He did hit a big three earlier in the fourth, but it was Giannis getting downhill, not settling for jump shots. For me, he was 2-for-5 from three. So he didn't take a lot of them, but he was in aggressive in mode, which opened the floor up. And then Jrue Holiday defensively just took over. But the Bucks defense and their championship pedigree took over late is what I like to see. That's a team that tells me that understands the moment. And Jrue Holiday said it. We're on the road down 14, but we just came together. It was no big deal because they've been there before. They understand what it takes to win.
You know, Amari, I've had people comparing what Giannis is doing right now to what LeBron did for a decade, kind of owning that Eastern Conference. And if you look at, I remember once upon a time, LeBron going into Boston in a game 6 that his team desperately needed when he was in Miami and finding a way to win, putting up an all-time performance. And here's Giannis. I'm not comparing the performance, but it's 40 points and it's doing absolutely everything. What is Giannis showing you right now?
You know, he's a complete all-around player. I mean, he dominates the game on both ends of the court. He's very aggressive attacking the basket, and it's hard for guys to stay in front of him. And so when you know you have that type of athleticism, you know you have that type of dominance on the game, you can apply that throughout the game, and you can use your force predicated upon how the game is played.
All right, so look, for every action, there's an equal opposite reaction. So, Uncle Seth, let's go to that, because we're on a conference call at 6 o'clock this morning, and a lot of Celtic fans are cranky. So let's talk about – let me ask you a few questions as a coach here. You get into crunch time of that game, and Jason Tatum doesn't have the ball in his hands, and Jaylen Brown doesn't have the ball in his hands. It's other people taking the shots late in that game. How do we explain that? Is that a miss on the part of the Celtics?
I don't think it's a miss on part of the Celtics. That last play on the side out of bounds play that Smart drove a baseline, that play was set up for Jason Tatum. If you look on the left-hand side of the floor, if you could show the wide angle view of that thing, Marcus Smart was supposed to receive that ball on a little zipper screen, and it was going to be a wide pin down with Al Horford for Jason Tatum. Basically, it was a busted play because Connaughton overruns the play, And, you know, Marcus Smart makes the play he has to make. Same thing the last play of the game. Those guys cross, Horford gets it. Al could have looked up the floor and made the pass directly to Tatum. He doesn't. And it happens. But Marcus Smart, look, he's made big plays. You look at the right side of the floor right there. His head's got to be up. You put your eyes on the rim, you see the whole floor. His head was down, and obviously Holiday came up, made a great defensive play. It was a perfect storm. You got to give the Bucks credit. Yeah, I mean, ideally, do you want the ball in Jason Tatum's hand? No doubt about it. But Marcus Smart's also got to read the defense. I know that Vince and it's that you guys understand that. They overplay that cut. He's going to what? Slide back, catch it, rip it, and attack.
Yep.
He makes a play. Drew Holiday just made a better play.
Let me get Vince back here if I can, Cindy. I know that we're having a little trouble with Vince's signal. Someone tell me if we do or don't have him. We do have him. Great. So, Vince,
can you hear me?
I mean, there was a moment in time when you were the superstar on the Toronto Raptors, and I'm just thinking late in games, late in must-have playoff games, there's no way that ball isn't going to be in your hands, right? For better or for worse, win or lose, you're going to go down with you, and that's not what happened last night.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use the code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use the code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Yeah, you're exactly right. From the beginning, you're going to get the ball. And it seems like they had a play drew up, but great job by the Milwaukee Bucks getting in full court press. That allowed them just to dribble the ball up the court. And you see when Marcus Smart is dribbling the ball up, trying to, you know, like you said, to advance the ball. Well, he had a defender on him, which made it tougher. But yes, there's no way. I'd like to see, if anything, put him in an isolation play, him meeting Tatum, and let him make plays. And yes, there was a hammer action, which probably would have been wide open, but it was well read by Wesley Matthews and the Bucks. So, you know, in hindsight, we can say, yeah, you know, there was a, you know, we want to put the ball in his hands, which they plan to do. Maybe put him in isolation to make sure he's getting the ball up top of the floor. In case he's denied, he has more space to get the ball to now make a play.
I'll come to you on the same thing, Amar. I mean, you were the best player on your teams for a really long time. And generally in basketball, the best player is going to have the ball in his hands, win or lose at the end of the game. And that's not what happened. Did you see anything that the Celtics could have or should have done differently on those final few possessions?
Yeah, I do think Jason Tatum should have had the ball in his hands for sure down the stretch. He's a player. He's one of the most complete players in the game of basketball. So you want to get the ball in his hands for sure. You want him to have, you know, good looks at the basket and try to get the offense going. So I do think if they would have got the ball in his hands down the stretch there, it would have been a better outcome.
All right. So look, yesterday morning, as we were sitting here, the Celtics were the favorite, according to Caesars, to win the Eastern Conference. In those final seconds last night, they may have seen a championship slip away because this is a team that has a real chance to do it, and they have a major uphill climb. So, Vince, I want you to take me inside. You're the leader on that team now. You're the leader of the Celtics. You just lost that game. You got to go to Milwaukee and beat that guy in his building. What are you saying to your teammates if you're the leader of the Celtics right now?
I think Marcus Smart said it. If you don't think we can win and you're not prepared to play, matter of fact, don't get on the plane. Don't get on the plane. Don't get on the bus. Don't drive there. Whatever you need to do. Don't show up because that's telling me that they still feel like they can win. He's their emotional leader. He's the head of their snake. And he's one of the voices in the locker room. Yes, Jason Tatum's a superstar, but we already know Marcus Smart is so important to that team. So he said it publicly to everyone. And I'm sure it's been said in that locker room. Don't get on this plane if you don't think we can rent and you aren't prepared to play. So look for Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum in the first 5 minutes. That's going to set the tone and tell you everything. Maybe they don't make every shot, but their aggression in the first 5 minutes on the road is so important to what this Celtics team will do.
If we think back to the two games that were played in Milwaukee in this series, I mean, the Celtics lose by an eyelash in game three. They had every opportunity to win it, the controversial call at the end and everything else, and then they win game four. So it's not like they can't win on that floor. What are you saying right now if you're the leader on that team, Amari?
Well, you got to think. You were up 14 in the fourth quarter. You played a great all-around basketball game. You had a chance to win the game. So, you know, I know the stats saying if you win game five, you have a higher opportunity to win, you know, the series, but I think that goes out the window in this series. I think Boston has a chance to really get it, you know, to win game six and then move on to game seven and see if they can take the series.
See, that's why you guys were all-time greats and I'm sitting here because I'd be like, oh, we're done. We blew it. We had our chance. That's it. It's all over. It was a good year, fellas. All right, we're just getting rolling on a very busy get-up this morning. Still to come, the other big game of the night. What the actual heck happened to the Warriors? Where were they, and could they actually now be in trouble? We're talking about it. And then speaking of epic meltdowns, can James Harden and the Sixers recover after a no-show on Tuesday night? We'll tell you what needs to change for the Sixers to stay alive. And as we go to a short break here in the Seaport this morning, again, we are unveiling the NBA's new trophies and postseason awards, including the newly designed Western Conference Championship trophy named after Bucks legend Oscar Robertson. It is awesome, and we are back in a flash. Get up on ESPN.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
We are back on Get Up. So we showed you the thriller in Boston last night. In Memphis, anything but. Memphis playing without Ja Morant against the Warriors, who had a chance to close it out, but they would do nothing of the kind. Steph Curry for Draymond Green. That's not what they had in mind. They're going the other way. Tyus Jones knocking down a three. Grizzlies are up 14, and they're just getting started. Amari Stoudemire in my studio. Look at that. Again, turning defense into offense and doing it all night long.
Yeah, absolutely. Attacking the basket, taking advantage of the opportunities, doing a great job with that.
25 points off 14 Warriors turnovers in the first half. That's Desmond Bane, who'd been struggling in the series. Memphis a 27-point lead at halftime. And then it's Jaren Jackson Jr. from deep, Amari.
Yeah, he's doing great, man. He worked hard in the offseason. It shows now in the playoffs, and this is where you make your money here.
Steph can't believe what he's seeing. This is a 55-point game after Zaire Williams makes this one plus the foul. 55 points. Ja is loving it. Draymond Green inexplicably is dancing with the Memphis fans as his team gets waxed. They're headed to a game six. Draymond, what are we doing here?
They not gonna whoop that trick alone. We're gonna whoop that trick together if we're gonna whoop that trick. You know, we got our ass kicked. That's all right. It happens. But you don't be front runner. You know, when you spew it out, you gotta be willing to take it and not hide from it, not duck from it, not run from it. Embrace it. So I appreciated the crowd tonight and the energy that they brought to the game. You know, and if they want to whoop that trick, we're going to whoop them together.
Okay. It was the Warriors that got whooped last night. Let's face it, they wind up losing by 39. That's their second largest margin of defeat in any game in which Steph, Clay, and Draymond all played. They had one back in 2014. But, I mean, this was about as significant a no-show as you could ever imagine. I will repeat. At one moment in time, this was a 55-point game in favor of Memphis. So let's just start quickly, if we can, with Draymond dancing with the crowd, because I saw a lot of people reacting to that. I mean, Vince, is that what was your reaction to that?
It just depends who you are. Some people are not going to like you. Say you're getting your doors blown off. You should be pissed off about it. And you know, this is a team who's been to the top of the mountain, who feel like, hey, they're able to wash a game like this aside. They understand what needs to be done. They're going to look at film, learn from it, and go back to the drawing board and be ready to go at home. So this is not going to sit well with them. You could tell it didn't sit well with Clay and Steph. And I'm sure, you know, one thing about Draymond is he's going to do something like this, and then he'll be ready to play, next game. So, you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, I don't think anyone doubts that. It's an interesting reaction in a moment where your team is getting obliterated like that. I guess at the end of the day, it doesn't really make a whole lot of difference. Seth, my question for you, I guess, is does a championship team give you that performance with a chance to close it out, with a chance to earn some rest and everything else? Playing against a Memphis team that I know they were good without Ja Morant all year long, but they're playing without their best player. How do you explain just a complete no-show like that?
You're going to have a game like this. The two guys sitting right there, right? They've played in the biggest games in the NBA, and you're going to have a game like this. Look, they didn't defend. They didn't rebound. They didn't take care of the basketball. They didn't make shots. They didn't stop anyone from making shots. I mean, Think about this. Klay Thompson was minus 45 in this game. He only played 25 minutes. Mm-hmm. Steph Curry was minus 43. He only played 25 minutes. And the positive is he only played 25 minutes. Once they realized this was not going to happen, I thought that Coach Brown did a really good job of resting them, getting them out of the game. It's like a tennis match. You're down 5-0. You're going to lose the set. You know what? Don't use all your effort up in that trying to get back in the game. The game's over. Let's get ready to get back to San Francisco. And that's what they did. You're going to have a game. Vince, I'm sure you played in a game like this. Well, you know what? It just wasn't right. Mm-hmm. We weren't right. We weren't ready to play. We didn't compete the way we needed to. Get on to the next game. Draymond being Draymond. But that was a blank kick, and there's no doubt about it.
Yeah, I get it. I understand everything we're saying. I guess I'm just saying it's a dangerous game to play, right? Yep. Like, okay, we'll go home. We'll win that game.
I agree.
Well, hold on a minute.
I agree. I
mean, some of the games in San Francisco were close. Memphis had a really good chance to win that fourth game. They had a very good chance to win game one on their own home floor. So it's not like they're so much better than the Grizzlies that they can afford to just take a night off. What do you think of it, Amari?
You know, these guys have a lot of confidence, Golden State does. You know, and so they know, okay, well, we want to close this series out at home. And so they didn't come out with the focus they needed here in game five. But their confidence is there. And you see Draymond dancing because he has confidence knowing that, hey, once we get back to Golden State, we get our proper rest, we sleep in our own beds, we see our families, and we go out for game six and take care of business.
Yeah, and I think that's what everyone expects them to do, obviously including themselves. But, you know, stranger things have happened, Amari, than them losing that game at home and having to come back to Memphis in a do or die. And then we were on to remembering this night. I just think it's a dangerous game. Vince, I'll give you the final word on this one here. But just to assume we'll go back home and we'll be fine and we'll take care of this, that feels like a dangerous game to play.
No, Greeny, you're 1,000% right. I mean, everybody's going to go back and look at this after the result of game six and maybe game seven and say, hey, he didn't take it seriously at that point. But, you know, this is a way of Draymond saying, you didn't get to us. This is what he's telling us. You didn't get to us. Yeah. We're able to show that, yeah, you beat us. We can have fun. But we're different because we're able to wash this away and be prepared. But like you say, it's a slippery slope and everybody won't take that approach.
All right, fair enough. In the meantime, just one other thing I want to show you here very quickly. How would you like to be, Amari, the person sitting in this seat? You pay a fortune, and you're sitting behind Taco Fall at a basketball game. That woman right there, the game is at this point is a rumor to her, right?
Yeah, that's a tough deal, man. You sit behind Taco Fall, this guy's 7'6". That is a hard ticket to buy right there. And it happens, though. You know, you go to Broadway shows, you stand up, and, you know, the person behind you is not tall enough. They can't see.
Well, it must happen to you. You're 6'10". I know you're not 7'6", but still, I wouldn't want to sit behind you at a Broadway show.
Exactly. Yeah, it's tough. You know, and I think the Celtics did a great job by bringing her the inclined seat to sit on.
It's just hilarious. I mean, at some point, they should sell those seats as partially obstructed views. All right, as we continue, we're going back to Boston. A holiday party in Beantown last night. What the actual heck happened to the Celtics in the fourth quarter? Can they recover? Plus, Kyrie Irving has said he wants to stay in Brooklyn, but how do the Nets feel about that? You need to hear what their general manager had to say yesterday. And you will. And as we head to a short break here in the Seaport again this morning, we've got the NBA's new trophies and new postseason awards, including this is the newly designed Eastern Conference trophy named after the legendary Bob Cousy. We're back in a flash. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each one-ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
We are back on Get Up, and if you're just joining us, a thriller to the final seconds in Boston. Jay Williams is in our studio. Pick it up, less than 2 minutes remaining. Bucks are down by six, but they're fighting on the offensive glass.
And Giannis, look, coming into that shot, he was 3 of 20 from the three-point line, makes a clutch shot to put them down three.
He's bleeding. The drama was remarkable. Just under a minute later, it's Drew Holiday. Struggled in game four, but came up huge last night.
Came up big time. Marcus Smart with the deadly turnover. When you think about this team, 4-11 when games are decided from 3 points or less. That's a big issue for the Celtics this
season. All right, now here's Giannis again on the line. Misses the second of two free throws. So his team is still down one, but Portis gets the board.
Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown bump into each other. Bobby Portis is usually not in the game in fourth quarters, gets a huge play.
Then two great defensive plays from Drew Holiday back to back. First the block there on Marcus Smart, and then he'll make the steal.
Greeny, I just have one question. And it was the right read by Marcus Smart, but why isn't the ball in the hands of Jason Tatum down the stretch?
Well, we talked about that earlier. Again, Holiday with the presence of mind there to throw it off his body. Then now it's a three-point game, and again, this is the final play of the game. Look at Drew Holiday picking the pocket clean on Marcus Smart, and that's how it ends, 110-107. Giannis had 40, Holiday had 24. The Celtics had a 14-point lead getaway in the fourth quarter, a heartbreaker in Boston. Coach, how did that one get away?
Of course, we're going to be down. Guys are going to be pissed about the outcome. You know, we outplayed them for 3.5 quarters, and so we talked about, you know, showing our resolve. We made it tougher on ourselves now, and it'll make it sweeter when we bounce back, but no, we gave up a golden opportunity tonight.
All right, first of all, you look terrific. Let's dive into this. You just said it in the highlight, and a lot of people on our staff were saying it this morning on our call. How is it that in a game like that, that finishes the way it does, that neither Tatum nor Brown have the ball in their hands in the biggest possession?
Brown's inbounding the basketball, and Tatum's on the opposite side, and you see Al Horford going towards him with the flare screen, coming up on the opposite side. Marcus Smart makes the right play. But look, it's unfortunate because at the end of the ball game, I like the chances with the ball in the hands of Jason Tatum at the top of the key in an isolated set. It just, Marcus Smart made the right read, but sometimes you make the right read doesn't mean the ball needs to be given to the person making the right read.
I hate to sound hypocritical because I'm the one who always complains about all the ISO basketball that people run, but at some point at the end of the game, if that's the only way to assure that you're going to win or lose with your best player, then I guess that would be the way to go.
And so there's a lot of plays. You had the turnover by Marcus Smart that led to the three-point shot. You have the rebound that he could have had, right? The defensive rebound that leads to the Bobby Portis play. You have that play where he makes the right read, but he gets a shot block. And then guys, the last play, here's what I know as a point guard, Greeny. Mm-hmm. All right. The ball comes in, he gets the ball. When you turn and you're about to go, my head naturally goes like this.
Up
the court. Right? And that, now, because I have to see who's coming at me. So as my head goes up and I put the ball down.
So
if I'm looking up on the court, right, and I'm seeing that Bobby Portis and Wesley Matthews bumped into each other, my natural place would be ball down, one play up, kick the ball ahead. Now, he fumbles it on the second dribble, but my thing is his head automatically comes down. And that's what you learn in, like, grammar school basketball. You always turn, head up, see the court, survey the landscape, make a play. I hate this for Marcus Smart because he had an incredible game and he's playing well, but just those plays in the last 2-3 minutes of the game, it hurts him.
The ball's in his hands in the two biggest plays at the finish, and both times Drew Holiday comes up with brilliant defense. So, does it feel like the Celtics let it get away? Look, the way they lost game three was unimaginably heartbreaking. The way they lose last night, maybe even worse. Can they win game six on the road?
I think, of course, they have a legitimate chance to win game six. But this game, to me, goes to show you the greatness of Giannis. Right? So in a game where they're down their second-best player, Drew Holiday obviously got them there when it mattered by closing the game out. But they're nowhere close to being in this game unless he keeps them in the game throughout the entire ballgame, especially going into the half. I mean, he's had some moves and some plays where he just puts this team on his back. He's getting banged up. He's on the floor. He's tired. It doesn't matter. He could be bloody. He's not going to complain. And I think that's what people love about Giannis.
Now, look, Giannis is the best player in the world. Of that, I think that no one can argue that, having watched what he's doing in these playoffs without his Robin and Chris Middleton. Okay, so we'll have more on that as we go. Meanwhile, come over here. Let's talk with Amari Stoudemire and the gang because we got another huge story yesterday. Brooklyn Nets general manager Sean Marks had fascinating comments about the future of his team and the type of players they're looking for. As you listen, consider who it is he's obviously talking about. Let's hear it.
There's an objective and there's a goal at stake here. And in order to do that, we're going to need availability from everybody. You know, we're looking for guys that want to come in here, be part of something bigger than themselves, play selfless, play team basketball, and be available. And that goes not only for Kyrie, but for everybody here.
Wow. So he said that, didn't he? So Jay Williams and Amari Stoudemire and Uncle Seth, no relation. And Vince, go ahead, Vince, I see the look on your face. What's your reaction to that?
Did he say something wrong? You know, that's setting the table. That's making sure everyone understands from here on. That's the San Antonio way. That's the San Antonio mindset. That's understanding when you come into this building, when you come to this organization, we're playing one way. We're only tolerating this. And that's Sean Marks and the organization putting their foot down now saying, yes, you are great, Kyrie, and whoever else wants to come here, but we need your availability because your availability helps us win a championship or gives us the best opportunity. So, yes, I like what Sean Marks is doing and what he said, and I don't see a problem with it. That's just setting the stage for everyone from this day forward, understanding how we're going to play and what's expected of you and your availability.
All right, that's really well said. And I want to come to Amari here, and for anyone who's, pardon me, not aware, Amari, you're on the staff with the Nets through this season, so I would never ask you to divulge anything that would be private or anything like that, but how could you describe for everybody the challenges that were created by Kyrie, his not being there for as much of it as he wasn't and all of that? How did that, as you look back on it now, affect the team and the season?
Well, I think for any team, you know, if your star player is not available for a majority of the season, your chemistry can't, you know, develop. And you have new players coming in. We made some trades and new players coming in. So you want to make sure that chemistry is being built properly. And if you're not available to play, then that chemistry cannot develop properly. So I think, I think Sean Marks is spot on with this. I think he's definitely trying to set the tone for the franchise and organization on what they want to accomplish moving forward. And I think he's spot on with it.
How are the relationships there? Again, without asking you to divulge anything that would be private, but a lot of us look at it from the outside and we think to ourselves, how can they all possibly be functioning together with as many distractions and as much adversity as they went through? And then, of course, the sweep at the end. How would you describe what the atmosphere was like amongst everybody as you were in that playoff series?
Well, I think the guys came together. You know, everyone understood, you know, Kyrie is not going to be there full time because of his beliefs and whatever. But I think the team really got a chance to understand that. And we tried our best to build that chemistry properly despite of the ups and downs. And Sean Marks somewhat set the tone, and Steve Nash as well somewhat kept guys together and kept guys focused despite of the ups and downs throughout the season.
If Kyrie is there, I know it's an impossible question to answer, but in your heart, if Kyrie was there all season and things were more comparatively normal, would the Nets still be playing right now?
I think so. Yeah, I truly think so. I think that would have helped the team somewhat understand how to play with Kyrie. Kyrie would have got a chance to build the chemistry with the guys with other players on the team on how guys work together. And I think it would have made a difference in the postseason.
Jay Will, what's your take on what Sean Marks said and all of it?
Well, number one, to answer that question that Stat just answered, I don't think you lose James Harden if Kyrie's available for the whole season. I think that's a three-headed monster that nobody's going to beat in the NBA, frankly. I think I hear what Sean Marks is saying, and I agree with what Vince said about it sets a tone. But at the end of the day, this comes down to the relationship between KD and Kyrie, to me, frankly. Because Sean can say that stuff, and it's great, but if Kevin Durant and him have that private conversation, and I think Kyrie's going to be available this season, but KD is the leader of this team.
What conversation?
The conversation about, hey, look, we've been through this. I need you to be available all the time. Like Josiah, Sean Marks, they can say all that stuff. But at the end of the day, like, KD's the one there. And if KD and Kyrie are on the same page about that, then everything else will be okay. And if they fall off the same page, that's where I think you'll see Sean Marks interject himself again with something a little bit more demanding.
Is that right? I mean, I
think that's unfair to ask that if that's right, but I'm just saying.
No, I mean, it's reasonable at least to say Kevin Durant obviously has a lot to say about how this thing goes forward. Is that a reasonable assumption for all of us to make?
Yeah, I think it's important for your franchise player to speak to your teammate about what his goals are as a player. What do you want to accomplish as a player? You want to be, I know you didn't make the top 75 group, but do you want to be one of the all-time greats? Do you want to, you know, achieve more in this game of basketball? And do you want to put yourself out there in a full-time capacity so the guys can really grow as a group? And I think Kevin Durant will have that conversation with Kyrie, and they both will come together and figure it out.
Let me get Seth in here again from a coach's perspective and all the rest of that. What is your, as you hear this conversation and you heard what Sean Marks said yesterday, what's your reaction to it all?
Sean Marks, what he said was exactly right, but there's got to be accountability to his words. You can't just make a statement and not have accountability to his words. Look, Kyrie Irving is a savant. I mean, he does things that very few people in the game can do. That sounds great, but you got to guard your culture right every day. If you don't guard your culture, because there's always something with Kyrie. I don't care. He's a great player. I love his game. His ability is unmatched, and I agree. It's Kyrie and Kevin Durant, but you can't come out and make those statements and then not hold people accountable. You got to have both feet in, and you got to guard your culture every day, because in the playoffs, when you really have to win, if you don't have a team that's all pulling in the same direction, you're not winning the games you need to win to advance in the playoffs. So it's great that Sean Marks said that. It's great that Kyrie and Kevin Durant got to be on the same page. All those things are great. But I'll tell you one thing. If you don't guard that culture every day, and if you don't have guys that you can count on, you're not winning the games you need to win a championship. And I would think that Amari and Vince, you'd agree with that.
And let me get one more from Jay here. Pardon me, because I'm going to lose you back to radio in a couple of minutes. So we heard what Sean Marks said yesterday. I'm going back to when they got eliminated and Kyrie Irving's statements. I'm doing this off the top of my head, so it's not a direct quote, but it was something along the lines of, well, you know, we'll be looking at this. We're leading here. I mean, he basically made it sound like he and KD are making the decisions going forward. That statement and what Sean Marks said yesterday don't sound like the same thing to me. So how does that work now, where Kyrie sort of sounds like he thinks he's in charge and Sean Marks is saying maybe not?
I still feel like Kyrie and KD are in charge. They're the two franchise players here. And at the end of the day, it's going to be their ability to get on the same page that will determine the altitude and success of this team. Like, I just have more of an issue about with Kyrie.
Are you saying to me that if Sean Marks and Joe Tsai and the Nets organization decide they can't move forward with Kyrie, that KD would be the one who would decide, oh, yes, we can?
He's your franchise player. How do you not give your franchise player a major say?
So the organization has no say?
And what happens?
Who is that? Go ahead, Vince. Go, Vince, go.
But Jay, all I'm saying is that you're saying that the organization has no say there? It's either KD or nothing because – okay, but you're saying it's like it's all going to depend on what KD decides or has that conversation. At some point, the organization has to step in because they feel like, KD, we've given you the say. We've given you the opportunity, and we're going to do this together now. Not saying I'm not taking away anything or saying against what you're saying. I agree. KD has to have that conversation. But KD has to – they're saying this is how we're feeling, and they're wanting KD to understand and buy in. So it has to be a hand-in-hand thing, not a KD – and then the organization's like, okay, we follow suit. Because when you allow the players to have all the say-so and no organization, what do we get, Jay? We talked about this before. You get a situation kind of like the L.A. thing. That's all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm. VC, I'm with you. I didn't say the organization has no say. But at the end of the day, because of Kevin Durant and how he communicates to the organization, I think his say has a lot of weight with the Brooklyn Nets.
Typically, the franchise
has a lot of weight.
Agreed. Very specifically, the terms that Kyrie used were manage the franchise going forward. Manage was the word that he used. I want to make sure I got that right. All right, I have to let you go back to radio. Thank you, KJM, coast to coast every weekday morning on ESPN Radio. I need a break here. We have so much coming, including can James Harden and the Sixers save their season after the nightmare in Miami? We'll be talking about that. Plus, the genie out of the bottle, the owner of the Lakers, breaking her silence on the absolute mess in L.A. What does it all mean for LeBron? Jalen Rose will be in our studio with his thoughts. Oh, what a morning we have working. Get up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We are back on Get Up. And hey, Amari Stoudemire, take a look at Little Eye Candy last night. How about this jam from Jason Tatum?
That's nice. Way to attack, take him off the dribble and get to the basket and attack with aggressiveness. That's awesome. I love this.
Look at the little shake and bake, and then he throws it down. And, you know, you're a man who knows a little something about dunking on people, as we enjoy this one more time. You're a man who knows a little something about dunking on people. So let's take a look back at some of Amari's best dunks on others, if you can. 2010, you dunked on Anthony Tolliver. Take us through
this play here.
Yeah, you know, it's a tight game down the stretch here. And so now we open court. Oh, man, I took flight, man. I'm not sure what he was thinking, but I love the fact that he challenged me and I was able to finish over the top.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. I hadn't seen that one in a while. Let's go back to your rookie season. Let's just watch this again and just enjoy. This is Michael Olowo Kandi.
Oh, yeah. See, the thing about this one is, see, the stadium heard the noise from the rim rattling. See, that was the most impressive thing about this was it was my rookie year and no one really knew exactly what I brought to the table, and I was able to show my aggressiveness here.
And look at Stephon Marbury. He was like,
that's
I can't
nasty.
Believe. And then finally, we're gonna. Richard Jefferson is our teammate, our colleague, our friend, but we're gonna do this to him anyway.
Yeah, see, late on rotation. You can't be late on rotation when you got Stoudemire on the court, because if you are late on rotation, I'm gonna dunk you and the ball.
Let me bring Vince Carter in on that. Vince, like no one's dunked on more people than you have, Vince. Look how much fun he's having. Vince, what do you say to a guy? What do you say to Richard Jefferson after you just dunked on him there? Amari first.
Well, you know, you don't want to taunt too much because it's the heat of the game, but you want to take that energy toward the crowd and bring that to your team so that way that can propel you to win the game.
Well, Vince, let's talk about what you might have said after this particular play. Go ahead, Amari, because we're like this. We're going to roll it. This is going to be Vince Carter dunking on Amari. Amari Stoudemire. Here we go, Vince.
Oh, man.
Yeah, see.
Let me see.
Wow.
Hey, T. Hey, Stat. So I know as a player, you know this, when there's guys who are athletic and the shot blocker, you got to get there before they do. So exactly. When I turn the corner and I see not this one, but the other one off the post right here, a turn, I have to get up before he gets there because he's the weak side defender or the help side defender. So it was just being an athlete, two athletes going at it, and I happened to win that one.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely.
I have to tell you guys, as something that the three of us share, there's no feeling in the world quite like that, right? I mean, when you just slam on somebody
nothing,
like that.
Nothing like it.
Yes, it's something that I've enjoyed so many times in my life. Anyway, all right, fabulous. Let's do Wipe It Clean, which is brought to you by Clorox, because we got two Game Sixes coming on ESPN tonight, and the 76ers and James Harden need to wipe clean their performance from Game 4 the other night. Harden just 14 points on 5 of 13 shooting. Sixers lost big. Again, Game 6 is back in Philly tonight, 7 Eastern on ESPN, with the Sixers playing for their season. And Seth, you have some tape illustrating the ways in which Harden has been struggling. Take it away.
Yeah, James Harden, look, it's part James Harden's not who he was, and its other part is the Miami Heat's defensive game plan is taking him out. Right here, he's got the ball in the middle of the floor, but look at Max Strus, bluffing in the gap, getting the elbows and blocks, taking away penetration lanes, and now he doesn't have that burst, he doesn't have that athleticism to get through that gap. Jimmy Butler gets a deflection, boom, they're out in transition, easy basket. James Harden is a very good player, he's just not that guy. Coming up this step-up ball screen. Great job by Miami Heat right there. Bam does a great job of keeping in front. And watch once again. Early help, good contest. But again, he doesn't have the lift, the explosiveness to finish like he has in the past. That's just the way it is. And that's why they have to play through Joel Embiid early in this game. Once you establish Embiid, then the game might be easier for Harden, obviously Maxey, and Tobias Harris.
VC, take me through it. Harden so good in Game 4, the struggles in Game 5, which were not just limited to him, but he gets so much of the focus. What do you expect from him tonight?
Well, Greeny, guys, here's a couple things. Looking at that breakdown, you know, the help side defender. So you saw Jimmy Butler on the help side. So early, you know, if you're Harden or you're a superstar player with all the eyes on you, you have to sacrifice and get off the ball and allow your guys to knock down shots early, which makes the game easier for you in the second half. You see Strus right there. You know, get off of it real early. I know you want to get in your ISO, but you kind of sacrifice early in the first half to get easier shots in the second half. And that's what we saw, you know, in their win. What was that game four? Is that
yes?
They had people knocking down shots. You see two bodies on the ball. You know, hold, get off the ball there. Or when you get into the paint, make a play for somebody else first, understanding that the Miami Heat culture and their defense, they're always going to be play help side defense. And now your guys know they need to be available for you when you're in isolation mode. So those are the things we didn't see in Miami that we saw in Philadelphia, is that just making the right play, and they need guys to knock down shots. That was, once again, my question going in after the trade was, are they going to have playoff shooters, knockdown shooters for the playoffs, not regular season? We saw Danny Green go crazy, and we didn't see it on the road. So expect for their, you know, their role guys to knock down shots again. They just need the consistency shooting from others and scoring to make the game easier for James Harden.
That's really good, and I love it when we can give the fans something to be watching specifically for in the game. So, Amari, do you share Vince's thought that maybe what we need to see is Harden a little more ball movement, a little less of the ISO stuff early, get other people involved, and get that Heat defense out of what they're doing so well, which is just focusing on him?
Yeah, I totally agree with Vince. I think he's spot on with that, because if you have shooters around James, he's a facilitator. He is going to make the right pass, but he's also an ISO one-on-one player. And I think for him, if he's able to somewhat improve in the offseason, right now it's a little bit tough for him now to get in top shape. It's a little bit late for that at this moment. Mm. But I think if he, you know, if he goes to the offseason, take it serious about his nutrition, about training, getting in top shape, and we can see a high-level James Harden again. But right now in this series, I don't think we're going
to
see it.
All right, and to be clear, that's a bigger picture look, and I appreciate it. But what can he do it tonight? Can they win this series still, win a game six and then find a way to go on the road and win a game seven? Amari, can you see them doing it?
I don't see it. I think the Miami Heat's too tough defensively. I think they're well organized. They're focused on both ends of the basketball court. These guys are well trained under Coach Spoelstra. I don't think the 76ers got a chance to win this series.
All right, I'm coming back to all of this. Vince, I'm getting you back in on this. We have so much going on. And again, we'll be here tonight with two critical game sixes on ESPN. 7 Eastern, we have Heat Sixers. Then we got Suns Mavs. I'll be here with the crew for Countdown starting 6:30 Eastern tonight. All the action coming your way here on ESPN. Meanwhile, coming up, a comeback for the ages. A thriller in Boston goes to the final second. How did that huge lead get away? We will show you, and all morning we're showing you these. The NBA unveiling here an ensemble of new trophies and awards. This one, the brand new Larry Bird Eastern Conference Finals MVP Award. Back in a moment. Get up on ESPN.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.